Let's open again. Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. We read from verse 1 to verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, chapter 1 to verse 10, the Bible says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit as the worker from that which in which he labors? If I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied." Let me just end with verse 11. "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end." Let's pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we thank you that you brought us back to this place to continue hearing more about Jesus, hearing more from his precepts and ordinances and his laws. Come, Lord, and expose Jesus again through these scriptures. Teach us your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Chapter 3 in our series in the book of Ecclesiastes. And from chapter 1, Solomon showed us the vanity of everything. And he says, after trying everything, after enjoying everything, everything is vanity. In chapter 2, we saw the vanity of pleasure, where the writer decided to enjoy everything. Just think of everything. I mean everything. And he enjoyed everything, women, wealth, and what, and what, and what, and at the end of everything, he concluded that everything is impure, hair, vanity. You just waste your time. The vanity, he showed us the vanity of beauty. You look into the side in the mirror and you think you are beautiful. That is impure, vanity. Give it a few years. You see kanyanya, lines on that face, you won't believe it yourself. Vanity of wealth. Vanity of education. Vanity of everything. Being smart, trying to put to dress up smartly. Vanity of everything. And up to this chapter 3 where we are, where he wants to bring us another aspect of life that I titled Time in Everything. Time in Everything. And everyone has got things that they love and things that they hate. Among words in English language, I have, many words that I don't like. But I have some that I hate most. Number one is sin. The word sin is the word that I hate most. Because it tortures us, both you and me. If you want to go the way of sin, then you want to suffer. And the second one after sin, I hate the word change. That word disturbs me. Change. Everything changes. The way Kampala was
5 years ago, it's not the way it is. Someone who left Kampala and went to somewhere 5 years back, if he comes back, this is a new place, sort of. Under the sun, everything keeps changing. Ourselves, 10 years ago, no one was the way he is here or she is here. 10 years to come, no one will be the way they are here. Some will be mothers, others will be grandparents. So everything keeps changing. 3-4 years ago, this house was not like this, it was looking new, newer than here. Give it 10 years, it will be older than here. So that's the word change that disturbs me. And everything here, like it or not, changes. Your education, people keep upgrading. Why? Many years, when you get your senior certificate, oh, they will party at home because that was something very big, very far. Today, senior certificate is nothing. You have it as if you have done nothing. Even a degree, first degree BA, is nothing. So, what's that? Where are we heading to? I don't like it at all. And this chapter begins by reminding us, in case we had forgotten that we live in the world that changes. In case you had forgotten, that we live in the world that changes. It's in motion. It's rotating. No one knows. Because of its motion, everything keeps changing. When you have these things that at the back of your mind, they help you a lot, friend. They help you to value Christ. They help you because, imagine, it's only yesterday when I was my mom's, baby. Today, I'm about to be a grandfather. How did this come? So disturbing, the word change. And what we have to learn in this, I'll come to that. I wanted to give them to you briefly, but let me first expose these things, and then I'll come and tell you that what we need to learn from there, although down there. Okay. As you'll find almost everywhere in this book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon begins also this section by giving out a statement. After giving a statement, from there, he goes on to illustrate that statement. And here we find in verse 1 his statement. Chayagaro kogeda, chagenda kuzimba ko. He has a statement, he has got a point that he wants to build on. It's like a foundation. And we find that statement in verse 1. And then from verse 2 to verse 8, kate chizimbe che is building now, is going up. Is building from that statement, from that foundation. And the statement is simply that there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for everything under the sun. As I read verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the sun. That's his statement. That is his point, and his major point. Everything else, every other thing is going to build from this truth that there is a season which I call an appointed time for everything, a time for every purpose under heaven. The key word here is the word time. Is key here. And if you count, you find that it is used 30 times only from verse 1 to verse 8. Only there it is used 30 times. You wonder. Verses 1 to 8, in these verses 1 to 8, Solomon makes 28 statements. 14 are negative, 14 are positive. What's a negative statement? I don't love you. That's a negative. Who would like to hear that? I don't love you. That's a negative statement. And the positive is, I love you. Everyone would like to hear that. So he makes 28 statements, 14 negative and 14 positive. And he gives us, in each verse, two pairs of words. Two pairs of words. And we begin the first two pairs. These are contrasts. And this pair, the very first pair, which is birth and death, serves as the foundation to all other pairs to follow, that will be following, as the foundation. And as I read down in verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. That's the first pair. The second pair, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. That's the verse 2, where you find two pairs. A pair means bigambo bibiri. So if you know bigambo bibiri, I mean a time to be born and a time to die. That's one pair. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is has been planted. And why do I say that these two pairs are like the mother of all other pairs that are going to follow? The lesson here is simply that the Lord is the one who appoints both our birthday and our day of death. It is the Lord. The day when you are born and the day when you be dying. He appoints them. God is so sovereign. Katonda wamanyi nyo afuga byonna. He controls all things. Is so sovereign to the point that no one can take your life before the appointed day arrives. So now, after knowing that here really, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. These are natural truths. Natural. That you cannot avoid even if you did what? If you were born, then you will die. Someone appointed these two times. It's not you, it's not your mother, it's not your father. It is the sovereign God who appointed these two times there. And this is like a tire. It's like a rotating tire. When it's rotating, what was up comes down, and what was down comes up, and what was up will come down again, and what was down, just like that. It keeps rotating. At this time, as I'm preaching here, a baby is crying somewhere. He or she is born. And people are happy. And somewhere at this very time, a soul is leaving this world, and people are crying. Seven kids are born, seven kids or seven other persons, whether kids or whatever, leave the earth. It's a rotating tire. And this is the truth that you cannot avoid. We don't have power to say I don't like that. And here in these two first pairs, you find their life. There is life here. This is the pair where you find life. Something is being born, and the first pair talks about living things. Okay. In biology, okay, let me see animal life and plant world. In biology, they taught us that plants are also living things. And they are, because according to biology, they breathe. Am I right? They breathe, so they are living. And you find these two types of living things here, animal life and plant world. The first pair is talking about the animal life where you and me falls. The world of animals.
Did you know that you are an animal? You are. What makes a difference in a human being is the Lord. Either without Christ, the way animals die is the way we die. The way they rot is the way we rot. There's no rotting of human beings and rotting of a cow. What makes a difference is the Lord, to know God. So now you find a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant. This is now life in the other world, the life, the world of plants. And a time to harvest, to pluck what is planted, that's to harvest. So when you plant during a planting season, and you harvest during the harvest season, you cannot do the other way around. If you want to plant during the harvest season, they will not live, they will die. And in this season, He is the one again who put them there, our sovereign God. So now you hear people say, oh, and we hear this so much, maybe even you've ever said these words, even me, oh, who is this? Oh, he's dead? 16 years old? Oh, no, he has died too young. Who told you? You've gone too young, too early. You've ever had such words? You've gone too early. But the Bible is teaching us that there's time to be born and time to die, and none of these two times will come by accident. You cannot be born by accident. You cannot die by accident. No one can die too early. No one can die too late. Oh, he died in a tragic accident. His time was not yet. He did not fall sick. Who told you? Our sovereign God appointed all these times. They are there. The second prayer. The second prayer, verse 3. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Oh, here now. And many scholars have said different things here. And you start asking yourself when you say this Bible is also not an easy book. A time to kill and a time to heal? That means I'm allowed to kill. Because when you go down there, they will tell you a time to laugh and a time to mourn. Sometimes you laugh, sometimes you mourn. These are natural truths that you can't avoid. So now in verse 3, that means I'm also allowed to kill. So what does this mean? But it's very simple. And that's why, friends, you join my class of Hebrew. It's going to help you a lot. This is just a secret. When you see, you come to words like these, try to know the Hebrew word that was used here. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, we have this commandment, thou shalt not murder, okay? And when we went through that, we went through those 10 commandments here. On that one, I showed you the difference between to murder and to kill. And the difference is simply that, if you kill someone willingly, nga uchigendere de, Nindamuta, or your mama Esther, Nindamuta. I'm going to kill her, and you kill her. That is murder. That's what God does not want. But God, the Bible does not say you shall not kill, because many people kill, even pastors have killed. Pastor, how can a pastor kill? Yes, they do. You can be just driving, you don't know, and a mad person just comes and throws himself in front of your car. Oh, you want to break, but it is too late. You step on them. Oh, he's dead. Have you killed? Yes. Have you murdered? No. So that's why God said, you shall not murder. So now, when you go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, thou shalt not murder. What God hates,
what God forbids. That Hebrew word used there. Then you come back here into the Hebrew Bible. And you see, time to kill and the time to heal. This kill here is not that kill there. Altogether. This kill here is not that kill there. Two different words and with two different meanings. Therefore now, you need to start trying to see now what does this mean here. And the Hebrew root, the Hebrew word will give you clarity. Now this one here, many people have come up with many ideas, but I've understood it very well. Because another problem is, you don't want to go with the synonyms. What are synonyms? Synonyms are different words, 2, 3, 4, even 6, with almost the same meaning. Okay? I wanted to give you an example, but I haven't remembered any example. Now, but you've understood. There can be 2, 3 words that you can just use. If you forget this one, you can use this one, and the message just will remain the same. Now, when you see the word kill, what comes into your mind immediately it is the other getting a knife and inserting it here in someone's word. Heal, it's just, how can I kill and how can I heal? In both cases, you don't see how you can heal someone. How? Even you hear doctors, you go to some pharmacies, they write and say, we only treat, but it's the only God who heals. And then you say, now how can I heal if it's God alone who heals? And we come to these one, I want to give you some different meanings. Number one, doctors, health workers are allowed. Okay, first of all, the meaning. This kill here can mean to hurt. Okay? To hurt. Not simply to insert a knife here or shoot someone and they lose their life. But even to hurt. To break someone's heart. Okay? And when you are doing the opposite, you are healing their heart that you had killed, that you had broken. To kill here can mean to cause pain, to cause a wound on someone, like doctors, nurses kill every day. For example, they come and they diagnose you that you have cancer in one of your legs, and that cancer is at the level of the knee. It's coming upwards. To save your life, in order to save your life, they'll say, no, let us do this as soon as possible to chop your leg from here. They cut it from here. Yes, they are killing you, are they? They are, because you'll be mulema, you'll be a lame person. Even when they are cutting it, it will be with pain. Bleeding. So after causing that pain, that big wound, that everything, leaving you a lame person, then they start the process of healing. You need to bring him or her every day for, you call it what? Nursing? What? You call it what? Dressing. So now, after killing, after bruising, after injuring, now they start the process of healing. Healing until when the wound will totally heal. I want for you to understand what I'm meaning here. This is what just from me, because I tried to look for into other commentators. No, I said no, this is rubbish. It does not make any sense. Now, if you want to believe, brother Ken gave me a nice Bible, which helps you get the meanings just from Scripture, without even wasting your time going to and fetching from other people's minds. That you call commentaries. Now let's read these verses, these scriptures, and we try to see what the meaning of heal. Because for you, to heal is only when someone is sick and he gets healed. Let's go to 2 Chronicles, very fast. 2 Chronicles, and you check some word there. 2 Chronicles, after Kings. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. and verse 14, 2 Chronicles 7, 14. And we read this. If you are there, let's read together. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. And the Bible says, let's read together. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And do what? And heal their land. How can under the sun heal the land? How do you heal the land? This is not Bible study or Sunday school, I'll ask you. But it's very clear. To heal the land simply means because of their sins, because of their rebellion, God had killed their land. Okay? So that it could not yield fruits, could not produce. Even if you put what there, it will not grow. He had killed the land. And God says, now, if they will come back and repent and pray, I will heal their land. For you, the word heal, you only put it on Pastor Bill when he has malaria. Then he goes for injections and then he is healed. You stop there. So if God can heal the land, then he first killed it by making it not to produce, not productive. The second scripture I want us to read is Zechariah, the second last of the Old Testament, the second last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 16. Zechariah 11, 16. So you, the Bible gives you one of the principles of Bible interpretation is scripture interprets scripture. Don't forget that, friends. 11 and verse 16, we read this. For indeed, I will raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are cut off, nor seek the young, nor heal those that are broken, nor feed those that still stand, but he will eat the flesh of the fat and tear their hooves in pieces. Because of their sins again, the Lord is going to raise in the land, is going to raise a shepherd, omukulembeze, pastor, simanyi president, who will not forgive, who will not spare the sheep, who will not, because of their sins. Verse 15, and the Lord said to me, next, take for yourself the implements of the foolish shepherd. Then 16, for indeed I will raise up a shepherd. Again, even these foolish shepherds, the shepherds who eat from their people, who are not merciful upon their people, it is the Lord who raises them. And he raises them for a purpose because of sins mostly. He's going to raise this shepherd. What will he be doing? He will not care for those who are cut off. If you are cut off, that's your problem. He will not care. Number two, he will not seek the young. He will not. Number three, he will not heal those who are broken. You see another meaning of heal. The Lord has already healed the land. Now, some people have broken hearts and they need healing. They need healing, friends. And now, after reading from these scriptures, and we go back to Ecclesiastes, you don't struggle. Can you struggle again? Time to kill and time to heal. Now it makes much more sense. If people who have broken hearted need healing, then the breaking of their heart is the killing. When you break someone's heart, you kill them. They don't have peace. They chaye because of you. So that time is there when you break someone's heart. My pastor has really disappointed me. But when your pastor comes back and says, my daughter, my son, I'm sorry, I did wrong, forgive me. Nkosonye, I'll forgive you, I'll come back to church. So time to kill and time to heal. Married people, time to kill and time to heal. You break his heart, you break our heart. That's time to kill. Allow for time to heal. And down there, a time to break down and a time to build up. You see now, you see, remember, friends, these are poems. We are in poetic literature. Okay? These are parallelisms whereby the upper short sentences can say the same idea, like these ones, using different words. Okay? So this very message, as I've explained it, it is brought by the other pair down. A time to break down and a time to build up. The same message, like a time to kill and a time to heal. And I've told you that people who are broken hearted have been killed by some people and they need healing. But would they? Would they? My dear, my darling. I say, okay, I've forgiven you. It's okay. You are healing their hearts after killing them, okay? So friends, poetic literature. This is wisdom literature. Where the lower lines can give you more light on what. The same idea in using different words. Let's continue with another pair. Verse 4, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And again, these two pairs are meaning the same, that they are talking about the same idea. Am I right? Because a time to weep, go down there, it's the time to mourn. These are the same things. Then, a time to laugh and a time to dance. Laugh and dance go together. Weeping and mourning go together. You cannot be weeping where people are dancing. You weep at the morning place. So this is how wisdom literature goes. And I always tell you that just being in a biblical church where they do expose to this preaching, that alone will make you a good preacher even if you don't go to any seminary. That's how you preach from wisdom literature. Psalm, Proverbs, what? Very simple. So here it's just this pair is just expressing emotions. Emotions, I don't know emotions in Uganda. But emotions. And here you find people at the morning, especially you Christians and you who know the Bible. Someone loses a relative, a friend, a mother, a daughter, whatever. You go there, you find them crying seriously, and you start touching your brother. Hey, Brother Emma, is this really Brother X, Sister X, member of RBC, a biblical church, mourning like that? No, let me go close to him or her and say, okay, brother, sister, stop. Don't cry like the people of the world. Don't cry, like, stop, don't cry. You know, our brother, sister is going to be with the Lord. You're not supposed to cry. Who told you? Let people cry. It is normal. The Bible is teaching us here that all these times were ordained by the Lord. He is the one who put them there for a purpose. And whether you like it or not, we'll experience both. You will not mourn once in your lifetime. You will not dance or laugh once in your life. You will laugh many times. It's a tire, remember, just it's rotating. It keeps rotating. What came what was there comes back, and what was there comes back, and it comes back again, and it comes back again. Let people mourn their beloved ones. Let people mourn. Don't even stop them. Don't even stop them. Maybe if you see that really it is too much, it can cause them maybe health problem, headache and what, then you can say, please, the head is going to hurt you, okay? Yeah, that's how you can just say the head is going to hurt you. But not, no, you are a born again. Who told you that born again are not supposed? This is the Bible. This is the Bible we are reading from Scripture, that there is time for mourning. And even our Lord Jesus Christ himself said, mourn with those who mourn. It is acceptable before the Lord. It is. Who are you with your fake knowledge of what? I'm a born again, I cannot mourn. It's only the people of the world who are supposed to cry. So if you don't want to mourn, then why do you laugh? Why do you go to the party and you are happy? Because these are contrasting things. They are contrasting realities. So if you go to parties and you celebrate with your brothers who have graduated, sisters, then you also need to mourn. You need to cry. Chabutonde no chabulijo nyo. So let people cry. When they first taught it to me at Bible College, I was like, what are you talking about, the dear lecturer? Should we let people say? Okay, they taught it to us in our course called Counseling 2, I think, Counseling 2. Let people mourn. Because it's when they are mourning, that's when that thing is getting out. If you stop them from crying, okay, they can, because my pastor, my pastor just told me that I'm mourning like the people of the world, so I don't want to look like the people of the world. This is so you are framing it there, you are just stopping it there. It will remain in you for long, it will torment you for a long period. But if you let it go, it helps. This is according to psychologists. Let's go to the other pair down there. Verse 5. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. You understand it? Because these are just parallelisms. You cast away stones and you assemble stones. You can see it with these people who sell stones in Kampala. Some people break what? You first collect them somewhere. Then if you get a customer who has bought it, you start again cutting them. You put into the car. Just like that. Let's go to verse 6. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. My friends, the truth that we are learning here is that God created all these things. The sovereign God created all these contrasts, opposite situations. You will not be gaining always, my brother, my sister. There's a time for you to gain and a time for you to lose. Don't be like people from those other churches where we came from, who want their people to be gaining and gaining and gaining and gaining only. What can they preach if they reach here? What can they say when they want to preach from here? Obviously, you will not hear them preach from here. Because this does not make it. This cannot make people lift the chairs. It can't. But this is the truth. That there is time for you to gain and time for you to lose. Oh, I've lost my job. Why? And you go, you fast 3 days dry. Without even a drop of water. But God, why? Remember what the Lord taught us in the morning? Be careful with the wise. The one you're asking why, is it your grandfather or the husband to your aunt? Eh? But God, why? Why? Who are you to ask God why? Jesus said, that's not your business. It's upon the Lord who has put it according to his own authority. Who are you to ask God why? You get a, when you get a job, you celebrate. Oh, thank you, God. You, testimony, you stand into the church and yes, you ever do it. God, praise God. When you lose that job, but God, why? You are selfish. That is being selfish. Where you are, girl? You love yourself too much. But if you know that, this truth that all these seasons are there,
these times are there. It will help you, my friend, my brother, my sister. Verse 7, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Yeah, there's a time to tear. How do you tear? When you go and ask tailors, we don't have a tailor in our church. They understand that story very well. A tailor, you want to, you bring your change to them. Say, I want a shirt in this thing, or I want a trouser in this material. So, will you find, if you sit down there, after 5 hours, you're waiting for your shirt, will you have a shirt without them tearing? You can't. They'll start cutting your material in 2 pieces, and you're like, what's wrong? I bought my material expensively, but you're now cutting it in 2 pieces. What's wrong with you? But after some time, then he starts putting those pieces together, he's now putting together. And this, you say, oh, it looks nice, thank you. But when you were staring, you did not want it. Friends, we need to appreciate all these times, and whichever time that comes into your life, tell God, you know better. Thank you. I don't see anyone who has attained that faith where you can tell God thank you in the negatives here. I don't see yet.
God, why me? Why me?
Yeah, but it will go slowly. Our faith needs to grow. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Oh, what are we learning here? Hello, brother. You look at me. It's when you look at me that I know that you are following me. A time to speak and time to keep quiet. Have you ever had people who say, okay, yeah, some God created that differently. I don't like that brother. He speaks too much. That sister speaks too much. I like that sister. That brother is too quiet. They don't talk. What are you talking about? Go and advise them. Brother, sister, you should be talking sometime. You're not supposed to be keeping quiet every time. I'm interpreting scripture. It's not me. And those who are talkative, you need to have time when you keep quiet. Are we learning something? So these who always keep quiet are not doing well. Yes, I know in much words, there's a lot of problem, I know. And those who keep their words are okay, are better. But the Bible is telling us that there is time. So you need just to do everything at its proper time. You'll only have a problem if you speak when you are supposed to keep quiet. And if you keep quiet when you are supposed to speak, there you'll always crash with the world, like it or not. But when you are supposed to speak, speak. When you are supposed to keep quiet, you will not have trouble at all. So you just do something where you are supposed to do it. Okay? I hear some guy, you know, they were preparing for their graduation ceremony. And, you know, they go into the room there to put on their gowns, graduation gowns and what. That's a special ceremony. So you have to do, you have the things you are supposed to do. Can you help us with these kids? Anyone, please, we need help. So you know, they are preparing, these guys have put on their garments now, you know. Now the time to leave the room where they've been putting on their garments to start marching now, the bagore, the bride, to move to where they are supposed to sit, only to see Mr. Gilbert come from the other room. Yes, with his gown, very well dressed in his graduation gown, with a cup of coffee, he's sipping. Sure! Are you supposed to have a cup of coffee on your graduation during the ceremony? So you are doing what you are not supposed to do at the very wrong time. So here, if you try to balance things and do what you are supposed to do when you are supposed to do it, you will not have any problem in this world. Time to keep quiet and time to speak.
And that's why we just need wisdom. One thing that you need to ask from the Lord daily is wisdom. Amagezi. The wisdom from Christ to help you, to guide you on when to do what and when not to do what. Just that. The time to and the time to. The time to. If you get married when the time to get married was not yet, you'll be in trouble. So just that. Just that. This is the only, but friends, this is this chapter is very important. And if I want to exhaust everything that I want really to bring out for you, I need 2 hours, which you can't give me. You try to do something outside its timing, you'll be in trouble. Serious trouble. Serious trouble. Time to get married is there. To papa. And the last one says, a time to love and a time to... Another one. A time of war and a time of peace. Are we supposed to hate? But we are born again. But we are supposed to love even our enemies. That's what the Bible tells us. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, who want you to die. Love them. But the Bible is telling you, giving you another story here, a time to love and a time to hate. Very simple. This one is very, very simple. Who told you that? Because remember this principle, scripture interprets scripture. So if you know in the other passages that the Bible says you need to love everyone, even your enemies, immediately you have to conclude that it's not what this is teaching. Because the Bible, you go to the unity of scripture, the whole Bible is one, is united. It's not there to break each other. So now if other scriptures say you need to love your enemies, then this one is not speaking about that. So, and who told you that you are supposed to love only human beings? I've seen many people on the street who are walking, you know, moving up and down, even when the wind comes, it blows him, he's speaking words, and then you ask him, why do you want to booze? Why do you want to booze every day? I see you drunk. Yeah, I love boozing so much. Boozing is not a human being. But you love booze. All of us, when we are in our sinful nature, we are still in our sinful nature. When we are still full in that sinful world, we used to love our sins. Am I right? You love it very well, by the way. After sinning, you start boasting to your friends. You know, that girl. She's proud. She has been proud for nothing. I managed her. I managed her. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 1. They boast on the things where they are supposed to be shameful. Where they are supposed to be shameful, they are boasting. So that you love your sinful life, your sexual morality life, your booze, you love alcohol like nothing. You love your life. Because of lies, I've acquired all these houses and cars. I lied to those wives that I have orphanages here. And they sent me a lot of money. I bought this piece of land and I built this house there. So you love your lies and you are boasting of your lies. One time, Jesus Christ enters your heart. You don't need to open for him the door. You are not his boss. He is the master of your heart. If he wants to enter, he enters. And after entering, when he's there, you start looking at this. Is it me really? Who used to love lies? So time to love and time to hate. You and me, as we sit here, we have a lot of things that we hate now. I used to love soaps. Ask my wife. These soaps. I was the one to spread the bad news. Okay, it was good news then. Telling people, no, they are nice because they have teachings. You learn a lot of things in them. Who told you that those soaps have teachings? Okay, they can be having one or two, but the
rotten things, the stinking things, there are many. And that's why what the enemy does. He cannot bring to you anything bad totally. You'll discover him and you're going to hate it. So he mixes. Yes, you can get a few lessons there, but the plan of the enemy in those soaps is not good for you. I used to love them to the point that when I was coming from the other school where I was teaching, Gayaza Road, and we reach, you know, I'm rushing to make sure I reach home before 8 p.m. when second chance, those time of chicken, second chance, before it started, and we reach somewhere, the traffic lights give us red. Oh, you feel the heart. I love it. But today, when I have the remote control and I'm going through the channels looking for where to follow some news, I put here, I see a soap immediately. I don't want them to spend 2 seconds there. Time to love and time to hate. My friend, my brother, my sister, this is the proper time for you to hate your sinful life. If you have not hated your sinful life, the Bible is teaching you this evening that there is time for everything under the sun. You've loved your sins enough. How many years are you counting since you started love? You've been loving that sin. How many years? And the Bible is here telling you this is high time for you to hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Verse 9. What profit has the worker from that which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made, this is God, he stands for God. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Listen to this. Remember the title of my message. Time in everything. Time in everything. Everything is beautiful in its proper time. Outside its proper time, it's very bitter. Anything. Anything. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, in the hearts of men. Except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. There is time for everything. What a lesson. Now, if there is time for everything, this should make us tremble. If there is time for everything, then there was time for you and me to be born. Therefore, you know the answer. There is time for you and me to die. It is there, like it or not. So, forget about the way you disturb your mind, you start deceiving yourself. Oh, no, Jesus Christ will come back when I'm still alive. Because people, because you fear death. You fear death. He will come when I'm still alive and he will be transformed. Whether he comes when I'm still alive or not, if he comes to me through death, I am in the Lord. They are all the same. I want to be found in him, found hidden in his righteousness alone. Time for everything. If time for death is coming, if time for death is coming, my brother, my sister, why are we toiling? Why are we wasting our time with all these things? I'm not saying you stop doing them, because even after this sermon, I'm going to the seminary. So just to prove to you that I'm not saying you should not study, you should not do business, you should not. But do all those things. Ask yourself, am I in the Lord Jesus Christ? Even as I'm doing this business, even as I want to join this course, and what's the reason why you want to join that course? I'm doing my seminary so that I can preach better. So that I can expand the word of God better. That's the reason behind that.
Not to boast, not to do anything. That's why I told the seminary, I don't care. Your course, you know, say 4 years to graduate. Me, even if I graduate, I graduate after 8 years. I'm not racing with anyone. That's one. Two, he did not call me to read books. He did not call you to read books. He called us to obey his word and serve him. These other things are just there, secondary, second thing, third things. The primary thing is to read his word daily and obey what you read there. He did not call us to read books, although go and read those books if the opportunity presents itself. There is time for everything. Let us learn to do that. Time to keep home and time to take an evening walk. Time to go and visit your friend and time to be home. You don't visit your friend every time. Vaja kuchawa, vaja kukowa. They'll get tired of you. Auntie, I love them. I love them. Every day, every day. One time we'll go into the book of Proverbs, you'll see this truth there. Time for everything. When you do something in its proper time, you benefit from it. But anything you do it outside its time, you'll be in trouble. We have our friends who spend the whole night praying. Moreover, praying loudly. That is time for rest. And I'm not saying that it's bad to pray in the night. I'm not saying that. Pray in the night, but why should you scream to disturb other people's sleep? So that's what I'm saying. That is time for rest. If not for you, but at least for others. Have it in mind. Time for everything. Oh, when I get an opportunity of being invited to preach in a Pentecostal church, I need to preach from here. This is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Time for everything, friends. May the Lord help us. If you know that there is time for death, then the answer you know. How are you preparing yourself for that day? Did you prepare yourself to be born? No. Where I came from, I even don't know. Even when I was born, I don't know. I just came to the resurrection after some years. But you and me have to prepare. We need to prepare for that day of death. And this is the time. If you say you want to start tomorrow, it might be late for you. You don't wait for tomorrow. That time is now. It's amazing. He hid this from us. He had to work a chin to chin. We are here, we love each other. Who knows who will be departing before the others? Before others. As we sit here, is it your pastor? Is it you? Instead of the attitude of the pastor, we will say, go, pastor, stop that. Stop that. No more. If you end up in the Lord Jesus Christ, then no more. So now, if that time is coming, I don't know whether I'll be going before you. How am I preparing myself for that day? Whenever it comes, in whichever way or manner it comes, even you, if it comes your way that day, you have no power. I have no power over it because I do not have power for me being born. Otherwise, if I had that power, I would say, no, ma'am, I don't want to come now. There's too much suffering there. This typhoid that I get every time here, typhoid fever. I would have told my mom, no, I don't want to be born now yet. Too much typhoid. I'll be a carrier there. But I did not have power, I came. And therefore, I don't have power also on the other. Stop deceiving yourself because the other person says that you can break it, eh? You can stop it. Hezekiah told God, no, I've done good things for you. I would want to die. And God added him 15 years back. Leave those stories. They disappear scripture. You don't have control over that thing. If it comes, it takes you. And what's wrong with it? What's wrong if it came? What's wrong with it? Prepare yourself. The Lord is everything. If you are in Him, He will keep you. Let's pray. Our glorious King, our grace
great high priests and greatest prophet, Jesus Christ. We thank you for these words. We thank you for the wisdom and the grace you give us to expound these scriptures, to try to make sense to your sense. We thank you. We give you all the glory. And we pray that you help us, Lord, to know that the life we live here is too brief, too short. We should focus on the other long life. Help us, O Lord. Know that if we had a time to be born, then time for us to die is coming ahead of us. Therefore, we should prepare our lives well. We should not put our mind on the things of this world that we are going to live one day. Help us learn lessons from these scriptures, from these verses. That even when we lose something, it's normal. It's a normal cycle of life here. When we get a job, we celebrate. When we lose it, we celebrate with you. We thank you in every situation. Help us learn that. Help us know that, oh Lord. We thank you that, Lord, you teach these things to us. We thank you. We give you back all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.